as a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision.
We kick off hour number two of the program. Live from
I wonder,
White Claw,
can people hear sounds of silence today? I can tell it's a mono track because it's not playing in my right ear. I wonder if that's the problem. Make that a stereo track. Make a note. I'll make a note.
Make a note.
I got it. Make a note. Under control.
I don't know. It doesn't really matter where it doesn't really matter how good a coach you think Jeremy Pruitt is today in lots of other areas. You could debate that.
It kind of matters. Kind of a big deal. I do wonder. I mean, we said going into this season, this is just going to be a weird year.
My point, though, is if you can't get quarterback right in college football, you will be a failure at the University of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Because
well, maybe it's good we have a COVID year to kind of figure that out. Just looking for the positives.
Save it for tomorrow.
Mm. Okay. So I'm just negative
there,
today.
There were people before the game that said if you lose to Kentucky, like lose at all, that he should be on the hot seat, or that, you know, I mean, there, one guy was even saying you should fire him if you lose to Kentucky or Vanderbilt at all, ever. The Tennessee coach should never do that. And I'm like, come on. You can't just fire people every day. I mean, there have been other schools with a good coach that lose to a non-power team early in that coach's tenure, and then they go on to great things. Like, for me, it's actually not the losing of the game. Let's go to what kind of how Jeremy Pruitt thinks about it, right? Like, it's the results come with executing every play and with doing, like, the results are a product of how you played the game. And we love to talk about it that way when things go well. See how well you boys executed? See how you beat your man every play? And look at the scoreboard. We crushed them. But in this case, it's just the exact opposite. Like, you did everything wrong, and Kentucky beat you 34-7 when Kentucky can't even score 34 points on offense. Like, it was an impossibility for Kentucky's offense to score 34 points on Tennessee's defense, mm-hmm. even if they had to. If Tennessee had 33 points on the scoreboard, and if Kentucky knew coming into that game they had to have 34, they were not going to get there.
Nope.
But they did, because you handed them 14 points.
Did they score after the Shrout pick? Did they get a field goal there?
That,
I believe so.
I think that was the field goal drive. They dropped a touchdown.
So you gave him 17.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Because I think they intercepted it, because he was at his like 8 when he threw it. Yeah. I think they could have kicked the field goal from where the interception happened.
So including the field goals that other teams have gotten off of turnovers.
So, yeah, 21 plus 9. You've given them 30 points. 30 points you've given the opposing team in the last six quarters.
Out of the 61 that have been scored.
30. Which means the minute you turn it over, they don't have to advance the ball. They're making their field goals, or they're returning the fumble or the pick for a touchdown. You can't do that, man. You can't do that. There was breaking news last night around, midnight. Mm-hmm. Tennessee has fired defensive line coach Jimmy Brumbaugh, either fired or reassigned. I'm not exactly sure what the verbiage is. I've seen it labeled differently. Relieved of duties. I don't know if that means he's going to stay around and do something or if he's just out the door. I believe that probably stems from some stuff we heard during the summer about he's a little lax on the guys, and they were kind of like a substitute teacher feel. Mm-hmm. They were kind of running all over him, not giving great effort, doing what they wanted. And I think Jeremy Pruitt had finally had enough. I want to say I thought the defensive line really through four games has played well until you give the other team points and they're on the field. And you can't advance the ball because you can't throw it. And they have to go back out there and play down 17, down 20, whatever it is. Like, you're putting them in terrible spots. I'm not stunned that the effort isn't there in the second half of these games after you have, you've given the other team the game with your quarterback play. I'm not stunned at that. Like, I don't know if that specifically is coaching, but I think it's just a culmination of everything, again, from the summer and from a defensive line group that's getting dejected, man.
Yeah, there might be more to that story that comes out. I don't know. But what we did hear is that Jeremy Pruitt hasn't been happy with that position from the start of the season. And I don't know how much of it was this, but there's been that the whole weird saga with Darryl Middleton, like not playing but not being hurt. The other offensive linemen, or other defensive linemen, I'm sorry, being kind of not into practice and all that. It's just very, very odd stuff going on, even way back before the season began. And
but do you disagree? Like, I don't think they've played poorly until the game's been out of hand. Now, I get that that's a problem. Like, you know, it's your tape is your tape. You want to just give 100% effort every time you're out there. But, man, like it's like I said earlier, JG throws a pick six, the heads hang. He gets back out there, throws another one, the head. Like, it's really tough to stay motivated when, even as a defensive lineman, you go out there and do your job all game long. They did their job for two quarters. They were down 14-0.
They stopped them on the goal line. They stopped – even to start the second half. They held them both those field goal drives. That was Georgia. And Georgia, I think, proved on Saturday that they are pretty good, but they're not the best. So, like, that kind of – that gives us more clarity on where Tennessee is from the Georgia game. And I think we're pretty spot on. Like, yeah, Georgia's defensive line is
good.
Is good. Georgia's offense, Stetson Bennett, I mean, he had them moving and scoring touchdowns against Alabama. Like, they're not a bad unit. Like, it was a good performance by Tennessee's defense most of that Georgia game. But when the offense is, you can laugh at Butch Jones all you want, but like the complimentary football like is a thing. When your offense is historically bad, I mean, this is the worst stretch of offense I've ever seen Tennessee have over the last six quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Worst ever. Your defense is eventually going to fall apart. And firing the defensive line coach, it's probably the right decision based on what all is going on, but it's a weird kind of high drama moment to do that.
It's just weird to me, though. Coming into that game, Kentucky was averaging, I'm trying to remember, was it 240 rushing yards a game? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Something like that? I mean, you gave up 187.
But they didn't get, you know, two full possessions when they picked six you. And
you gave up 187, and they're still averaging 206 a game. I guess I'm just saying, like, I don't think – and you only gave up 100 – I mean, Tennessee only gave up, 294?
Well, and here's the problem. Going into the game, we talked about it. Kentucky's issue is no matter how efficient they are on the ground, unless they pop big ones for touchdowns
– right.
Like, it –
which they didn't.
Like, they have
to – you made them earn it.
Yeah, they have to control the game. But the problem, when you throw – when you give them 17 points with your offense – and I did confirm that the Shrout pick led directly to the field. It should have been 21. I mean, the defense gave that up. Kentucky just didn't catch the football. You gave them 17 points. Well, when you give Kentucky a 17-point lead, now they don't even have to worry about controlling the game. They already are. So they can
– they just do what they do.
They can just run the football, and if they punt, they punt. Who cares? We just got to run it well enough to milk the clock and get out of here with a win. And it puts your defense completely behind the – there's nothing you can do on defense at that point. You're just having to deal with –
Just try to get stops and hope they punt the ball.
Yeah,
so because you're unless you can just cause a bunch of fumbles, which that was a really great play by Bryce Thompson to cause the one.
So I don't
listen to this. Okay, Tennessee lost 34-7.
Mm-hmm.
Total yards: Kentucky 294, Tennessee 287. 7 yard difference.
Mm-hmm.
Passing yards: Kentucky 107, Tennessee 112. Rushing yards, Kentucky 187, Tennessee 175.
Yeah.
First downs, 18 per team. Penalties, Tennessee 6, Kentucky 1. Sacks, 2 apiece. Tennessee, 4 turnovers, Kentucky 1. There it is. That's the difference. 4 turnovers. One guy had 3 of them. Again, I'm not blaming him anymore. Like, I've moved on from that. He is what he is. We've known it. We've said it. The first two games, you thought, okay, and I told Philly, I told T-Carp, I told everyone all summer, I just wanted to see it. After two games, I'm thinking, okay, some of the mistakes and issues are still there, but he's not turning the ball over. If he cannot turn the ball over, I can live with this type of play. The last six quarters, he's turned it over six times, right? Two picks and a fumble, or two fumbles and a pick against Georgia, and then two picks and a fumble against Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And put another two on the ground against Georgia. You can't average a turnover a quarter from your quarterback, and you certainly can't average that when not only are they turnovers, but they're in your side of the field and leading directly to points, you know, or pick sixes, whatever. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, if you watch these two teams play, they're, like, worst-case scenario, you should have won this game kind of the way you did the South Carolina game.
Yeah.
Like, worst-case scenario.
A little lower scoring, but yeah.
You didn't even have to throw it to do that. And if you have a quarterback that can throw it a little bit, maybe win this game just as we expected, right? Kind of comfortably. 10, 14, 17-point win.
Mm-hmm.
If your quarterback can – if you run the ball effectively, then your quarterback can just make some of the key throws when the guys are open. But your quarterback play literally cost you this game, and there's no other way to look at it.
So let's take a break. After this break, I want to get your take. So moving forward – you've got Alabama this week coming to your place.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it matters, really. Then you got a bye week. Then you travel to Arkansas. Arkansas right now, without question, the surprise team in the SEC after going 0-19 in their previous SEC games. Arkansas now sits at 2-2. Should be 3-1 if the refs don't steal the Auburn game from them.
Yeah. Their only loss will be Georgia. Like, in a bizarro world, if they win that Auburn game,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't,
and they hung with Georgia,
and you didn't know where they came from, if you thought if you could just like have a memory wipe of Arkansas last year,
mm-hmm.
let's say you got maybe you went from like Bobby Petrino Arkansas days where they were like in the top 25 the whole year, and you watched them this year, and the refs get that call right at the end of the Auburn game, you're like, yeah, Arkansas probably
pretty good
top 15 team. I mean, no joke, you'd have one loss to Georgia.
They probably are ranked at that point too.
It's
like actually ranked.
It's absolutely unbelievable.
You have 3 weeks before Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks. 15 practices and a game. That is basically spring practice.
Right.
Do you just turn your attention away from Alabama at this point and say we're prepping for Arkansas?
I don't know if it's necessarily prep for Arkansas. I think it's prep for Harrison Bailey.
Yeah.
Is what I think. Or Shrout. But probably Bailey. Because he's your future, if you have one.
Well, we'll chew on it more on the other.
That's what I want to talk about.
We'll chew on it more on the other side. Jake in Atlanta's patiently holding. If you can hang tight, Jake, we'll come to you next as well. Lots to get to, of course. I do need to remind you that sports betting, and there was more that came out of this over the weekend.
I missed everything. Please enlighten me.
They're tweaking it. It should be good to go. Definitely November 1st. There was even some talk about moving it up a couple days so you get that weekend because October 31st is Saturday.
Yes. How do we?
So I'm not sure if that will happen or not. But anyway, either way, it's right around the corner. Sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started right now. You can get $50 in free bets just for signing up. That's right, $50 in free site credits to register and verify early. And it doesn't even require a deposit. Just go and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
I have it.
Use promo code 3OUT. That's the number 3OUT. So they know we sent you. You can get $50 in free bets as soon as the FanDuel Sportsbook is live right here in Tennessee. Just sign up and register. Use promo code 3OUT. And you'll get that $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Right back to the phone lines. We'll chew on this three-week what do you do at quarterback question as well. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
To see if I still feel, I focus on the pain. The only thing that's real, the needle.
Right back to the G3 Help Me Hotline. We're here for you today, doing the best we can. Next up is Jake in Atlanta, Houston.
Thank you for letting me know.
I don't know if you were able to stay up till the end of the Braves game, but I got a feeling that Jake in Atlanta.
I saw the base running extravaganza and decided, yeah, I'm going to go with the bet. Left two runs easily, probably on the board there or off the board. And
at least one, yeah.
Had a feeling. I was hopeful. I woke up, checked it, and I was like, yeah, there it is.
Yeah. No. If you've been a Braves fan since 1990 or before, you remember the 91 series where they couldn't run the bases. Lonnie Smith getting deked, Kent Herbeck pulling Ron Gant off the base, and David Justice just skipped third base one time. So, you know, that's the way it goes for Atlanta.
Time is a flat circle. History repeats itself.
All right, Jake, what you got for us? You're on three and out.
Hey, guys.
How about those Falcons?
In 2015, I watched a Butch Jones team choke away a very winnable game against Oklahoma. And it was probably, at the time, the maddest I've ever been watching a football game. 2 weeks later, my dad and I made our first trip to the swamp to watch us unbelievably choke away what would have been a massive win against the Florida Gators. And I told my dad that night, as we were driving back, that Butch Jones should be fired immediately and that we should end this experiment. And I was officially out on him that night. And a lot of people said, you know, no, it's too early. You know, he's only just started year three. But the writing was on the wall for me that day. And it turned out to be true, even though we did have what we had in 2016. For a brief moment, it seemed like it was going to get better. I think after yesterday, I am officially out on Jeremy Pruitt, which kind of sucks. I really like the guy. I think he's trying to build our team the way it should be built. No smoke and mirrors like you saw with Butch Jones. But I can't lie with what I've seen on the field over the past 2.5 years now. We either win close games or we just get completely blown out. I mean, most of the time we're not even competitive. And I'm tired of watching it. I think we should move on from both our quarterback and our coach. I know we won't. I don't think it's even financially responsible to do that. But I can say confidently after yesterday, I'm done on Jeremy Pruitt.
Jake is out.
Thanks for the call, Jake.
Jake is out.
I mean, it has that kind of feel where, like, Jeremy Pruitt, he was able to rally the team last year, and I'm not even sure how he did that. I mean, I give the guy tons of credit for coming back after Georgia State and BYU and being able to have these kids pretty ready to play for the rest of the way, even though you took some, you know, even though things didn't go that well at Alabama, all that kind of stuff. They still, I mean, that was an amazing coaching job in one area of the profession of what you have to do at Tennessee. But, I mean, this just feels very similar. It's like, this feels very similar to, yeah, Butch Jones has a lot of NFL guys on this team, but there's just things that are never going to be good enough to win big at a high level. And right now, I feel like Jeremy Pruitt has some special traits in terms of recruiting. Like, he seems to relate really well to all the players, really, and that's it's made him be able to close down high end recruits that choose Tennessee over the likes of Alabama and Georgia and Florida. You know, hasn't worked with everyone, but you're obviously behind those teams. Like, it's you're playing behind a stacked deck there, and he's been able to come through on some of those recruiting spots. His defense, I feel like, has just gotten slightly better every day, every week in, week out. The defense has gotten better and better and better. The offensive line has been kind of an Achilles heel so far. Doesn't matter how many stars they have on it, they still seem to be kind of Jekyll and Hyde. But the quarterback position has been an absolute disaster. And
you've had one guy.
I think what's most alarming is that he doesn't even seem to understand it. And that's where people are like, out. That's where, at least that's, for me, that's more where it, somebody put it to me this way over the weekend. I think it seems appropriate right now. Now, maybe this changes, I don't know. It feels like he's a pretty good football coach, but right now he's just in over his head with having to manage an entire program and having to manage how to handle the offensive side of the football. It's just not working.
Winning is fragile.
Thank you for that. I might agree until I just don't know what's behind him. Right? I mean, JT Trout got in there, he threw one pass, it was picked off. Like, maybe we just don't have a quarterback.
Well, then you don't run the Jim Chaney offense in its full glory. I mean, that's Jeremy Pruitt told the broadcasters this week that they put more on Jared Garantano than any other quarterback in the SEC. Which, a couple points here. Number one, I think that's a false statement. Number two, if it's true, then that's a really bad coaching decision because obviously JG can't handle it. So you're mishandling the quarterback situation whether you have a guy or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have a guy, you should be playing kind of like Kentucky plays. Like, they know Terry Wilson's not going to go out there and throw for 350 and win.
Mm-hmm.
So they run a completely different setup on offense that he can manage.
Like what they did with Lynn Bowden last year.
Right.
I'd take Eddie Grant right now, I think. I like Jim Chaney, but
coach. That was a half joke.
I always liked Eddie Grant.
Let's go to Jamie. He's up next on the phone lines. They are chock full. What's up, Jamie? You're on 3 and Out.
Guys, I not only agree with Jay from Atlanta, I kind of disagree. I disagree that it's not financially responsible to get rid of everybody because wait till you don't have any season ticket holders next year, and you'll see which would have been the better financial decision.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you know, you guys are in the attorney business. I mean, I heard, I guess it was Nate saying, you know, at least JG doesn't do this, or at least, you know, if you've got an attorney, a litigator who goes up and slaps the judge, but then he stops, you can't really say, well, at least he doesn't slap the judge anymore. He's not, you know, he's not good enough.
Yep.
Know, he, you know, Jay from Atlanta also said, you know, I was out on Butch in year three. You know, was it a better idea to hang on to Butch for 5 years and let him destroy the program and get us our first, you know, it was us in Ohio State who've never had a four-win season, an eight-loss season, and now we can just scratch that off of our record book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking back, was it a good idea to keep him, or whenever the writing's on the wall, was it a better idea to get rid of him?
Should have gotten rid of him. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like we're the only people in the media that even said that. They even had the Stones have that conversation.
I mean, at midway through the 2016 season, you saw everything change, man. Like that, we said at the end of 2016, I think it was the minute you lost to South Carolina, like we were here saying, it's time, make the move. The team's not going to be any better next year. Let the next guy come in. Don't let this thing get railroaded so bad that, you know, it's going to take 2-3 years to dig out of this hole. Make the move now. Do it. Recruiting was suffering, like it was brutal.
I mean, you could have done it after Vanderbilt too. I mean, you lost that, you know, you won three crappy games and then you lost to Vanderbilt 45-34 at the end of that year. You could have done, I remember watching the Nebraska game that you won and being happy for Derek Barnett, but being
That's all that game was, it felt like.
But being kind of sad that we played well enough to win because I knew that meant, you know, another a lame duck year. Like it when you know, and but there's still points where we said, I remember sitting on remote doing the show on Thursday, September 1st, as Tennessee was getting ready to welcome Appalachian State. And we said, if Butch Jones wants to be successful, he's got to just back off and just coach less. Like, just let the assistants do all the heavy lifting, and he can worry about the attention to detail on the recruiting trail, because that seemed to be the only thing he was good at. And he didn't do it. You know, it was a meltdown. Should have made that move earlier. And if this one continues this way, you better make this one at the right time, or you're going to be in a worse spot than you were after Butch Jones.
Well, it's trending down for sure. Three things that Butch was sorry at was development, game day coaching, and post game interviews. Three things that Pruitt sucks at is development, game day coaching, and post game interviews. I mean, we've got falling on the helmet, and that's the truth. And we've got this idiot up there talking about how if our offensive players would do a better job of tackling during the middle of a pick six, maybe we'd have a better chance of winning.
He said that? I missed that one. Jamie, he said our offensive players have to tackle better after an interception?
Yes, and he also said our defensive players need to strain the offensive players better in practice. So they'll learn, you know, because offensive players are too stupid to realize the level of play it takes to win in the Southeastern Conference.
If you're going to spend time during practice making your offense tackle because your quarterbacks throw so many interceptions, you're not addressing the real problem.
No, and at the end of the day, guys, we're not, you know, it's year three. We're talking about JG and Shroud. And at the end of the day, you can scratch the names off. It's here's the issue. You don't have the development at quarterback in year three. You know, Kentucky had to, move around the quarterback position and maybe get a guy in there that can run the ball a little bit. But they're Kentucky. We're Tennessee. We can't attract a better quarterback by year three. And, you know, you talk about Harrison Bailey being the future. He might very well be. But knowing Pruitt in 2.5 years like I know Pruitt, he'll screw this up and play Harrison Bailey every game and run off Sautel. And I don't know that that's the wrong thing to do, but knowing Pruitt, it'll turn out to be the wrong thing to do. His defense ain't as far along as we thought it would be when we hired an elite defensive coordinator. You know, they let Kentucky run the ball right down our throats, and that's not Alabama, that's not Georgia, it's not LSU, that's Kentucky. So, I believe one of y'all said that maybe it was a caller, he's lost more games by 20 points in 2.5 years than Butch did in 5 years. At the end of the day, Fulmer aligned himself with this clown and interviewed the guy and said, this is my guy. Now, everybody says, I don't know if it should have been Mel Tucker, the guy from Clemson. This program needs a proven head coach that's done it at a high level. Maybe, you know, maybe a guy who's done it at a smaller level but was elite. But a head coach, somebody who's used to coordinating coordinators.
You freeze.
It's just mind-boggling that we keep, you know, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, South Carolina, they go out and reach up. You know, these programs reach up. And it just seems like we've resigned ourselves to like, well, you know, we can't get John Gruden, so let's go dig, you know, a co-champion out of the MAC, or a guy with a losing record out of Louisiana Tech, or how about this, a guy who has never been a head coach before to compete for championships in the Southeastern freaking Conference. You tell me how that makes any sense. But you know what, guys, we're sad today, or a lot of Tennessee fans are sad today and their disappointment. Not me, and not because I like to see coaches fired, but I'll put it to you like this. I got my sadness and disappointment out of the way the day we hired the guy. Same with Butch, same with Dooley. The moment they announced his name, I Google. And Google tells me they're not going to win in this conference. So I get my sadness and disappointment out of the way, and then I just sit back and watch everybody else make it around the corner where I've already been. You know, like, look, guys, here we are. We're doing the, you know, I'll wait for you up here. In the meantime, I'll be called a negavol, you know, and told, you know, got to wait for somebody out. But, guys, it's over. Like you said, Butch Jones, year three, that was the time to get rid of him. Hang on to him longer and see how financially irresponsible it would be to fire him today.
Thanks for the call,
Jamie. You think $9 million is bad? Wait till you see nobody wanting to come to games. Y'all hang in there.
Thanks, Jamie.
You got to get your sadness out of the way. That's what I took away from that one.
Sadness.
Get the loose.
Get your sadness out.
Get the looses and the sadness out of the way. I mean, the leadership issues that led to you having to pick between those group of candidates is well documented. I don't know what else. I don't think if we had Greg Schiano, I don't think things would be better. So I think Fulmer,
he was dealt a very tough
hand. Fulmer's mistake was saying, I know he's the guy, like after a few games, and then extending
him. I mean, I get it, like you kind of have to say that.
And then extending him this year, yeah. Like that did not make – it just didn't make any sense for Fulmer to go all in on Jeremy Pruitt before mm-hmm. we knew whether he was going to be good, bad, or ugly. All right, let's go to Cook next. Cook, you're on 3 and Out. What's up, buddy?
guys. How are y'all?
Morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
We're hanging in there.
We're here.
I guess first thing I got to do is apologize to everybody who was on the show Friday. I came on getting on to y'all for still being sad and negative about the Georgia loss, even though it was a Friday. But now I guess I got to eat crow and take all that back, since I feel like we're going to be doing that for the next couple weeks.
It's all right, Cook.
We're in it together.
Yeah. We're on the same team here, buddy.
Well, I guess on a positive note, Davies Titans are looking really, really good.
That was so much fun.
Hoping we can keep that up. I'd like to hear your thoughts on their upcoming game against Pittsburgh. But before that, I would like to say I want to disagree with the past two callers who've been completely, it sounds like they're 100% out on Pruitt. I wouldn't say I'm 100% out on Pruitt just yet. Only for the sake of, as long as he can keep his recruits he has in this class, and we can find a halfway decent class with some actual top talent who will come in his system that he wants to instill, I think that'd be a win. I know I don't expect us to have I really don't expect us to have a winning record this season. I think if we do what we could do, we did last year and rally the troops, maybe we win 4 of our last 5 after the bye week. You know, that's being really optimistic. And I know
yes, you are.
Tuesday, but this ain't Tuesday, but I don't know. I'll say this. I grew up with one of my best friends. Unfortunately, he was an Alabama fan, and so was all of his family. And when we had Butch, they clowned me all the time for saying that I think he was going to be so good and all this and all that. And, of course, I was in high school, so please forgive me for saying that. But when we hired Pruitt, they said, you got yourself a good coach. I don't expect him to win right now, but I do expect him to be competing for the East in a couple of years. And I think a lot of people are underestimating what the pandemic has done to the team and for the players, and how that's affecting how we compete and how it's going to look on paper. But I think that it has made an impact, and I'll let y'all go and discuss whatever you need to.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for the call, Cook.
Hey, Cook, real quickly, we'll get to the Titans later. And it is doing great. But, I mean, if you want to talk about the opposite ends of the spectrum when we're talking with offense, I'll give you this little tidbit for optimism. Yesterday, the Titans were the first team in NFL history with 350-plus passing yards and a 200-plus yard rusher in the same game.
I'm glad we have the approval of Alabama fans about our head coach. That makes me want to vomit. I don't care what those inbred idiots have to say about our football coach. The fact that, like, get out of here with that. Who cares what Alabama fans think of our football coach? That is like, okay, let's just lay down in front of the Alabama gods and hope we can please them because they're Alabama. Good Lord, that's such a losing mentality. Can we go find our own guy that can at least stand up and fight against Alabama? I mean, hell, can we find the next Lane Kiffin that's like, yeah, we're gonna go in there and give ourselves a shot to win? And while it didn't happen that first year, like, at least that mentality had something behind it. I guess we'll find out where Jeremy Pruitt and this team is. We had a caller earlier say they were shocked that the team wasn't, you know, pissed off after this loss. I mean, you lost to one of your pseudo little brother rivals 34-7 that you never ever lose to unless your coach is about to be fired. And no one seemed to be that upset about it. And to me, that you got Alabama coming here. Can we at least fight? Like, that was the thing Jeremy Pruitt was getting a ton of credit for earlier in the season was, you know, do we have fighters in here? Yeah, we do. Like, all that stuff. Like, I guess we're about to find out.
There's fighters in here.
I don't think you're going to beat Alabama, but you better show some fight going into the bye week, or this fan base, there's going to be a lot more Jamies and a lot less Cooks. Let's go to Wes in Franklin next. What's up, Wes? You're on 3 and out.
Hey, guys, goodness gracious, Cook, what the, did he just say that he thinks that Tennessee could be competing for the SEC in a couple of years under Pruitt?
He did.
Hey, what the hell could, look, and Nate, I heard you earlier say, you know, there's been lots of coaches that lost a game to an opponent they shouldn't have lost to early on and then ended up being successful, but come on, we're in year three. In year one, he got blown out by Missouri and Vanderbilt. In year two, he loses the home opener to a soup can in Georgia State. And now in year three, you get blown out at home by Kentucky for the first time since before Ronald Reagan was elected to his second term. I mean, think about that history. This is, I don't think I have ever been more disgusted in my university than I am right now. Now, part of it has to do with I'm just disgusted with the university as a whole because I'm you know, I got a college freshman and I'm paying UT tuition for a University of Phoenix online education.
Yeah, don't blame you there. Don't blame you there.
Parents of students who can't even go to the strip because it's like damn gangland down there every other night. What the hell has happened to our university? Maybe Dante Plowman should quit trying to go through Fort Sanders and breaking up beer parties and figure out what the hell's going on the strip with a drive-by shooting every other damn night. All right, fellas, I'm out.
Thanks, Wes.
I wanted to say Jeremy Pruitt.
Plowman's too upset about the kids not being willing to go get tested when they try to randomly test an entire dorm. That's her main focus right now. They haven't been running enough COVID tests. You know, they're mandatory random mandatory COVID tests, and only about half the kids go, and they're turning the other half over to the judicial process so they can eventually be up for expulsion if they're, in her words, irresponsible. Get out of here. Can we focus on what matters and what doesn't? Can we educate people? Can we play some football? Good Lord.
I completely agree with you. I was going to add as far as, I mean, just Jeremy Pruitt and teams he's lost by 20-plus points to now. The list includes Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Missouri, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. All those teams have beaten him by 20-plus points, some more than others.
Yippee.
I think Kentucky's...
Did I say Missouri?
You said Missouri.
Okay.
Isn't Kentucky second with on the total points they beat us by? Didn't I think Alabama beat us by 31?
Not total. 27. I mean, Florida's got us a couple of times up there. I don't think he's not been beat by Georgia this bad yet. I don't believe.
That's good.
Yeah, I might be wrong on that.
Great. Progress.
Actually, right. No, I am wrong on that.
Final segment, hour two. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
News and notes.
You've done to me. I lay in bed all day long, feeling melancholy.
Final segment, hour number two of the program.
All alone.
This one's brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Probably should do give them a bonus tomorrow on Optimism Tuesday. Not many smiles.
No, yeah, we're gonna be going to be smiling.
Go to KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Don't let your teeth suffer just because there's bad quarterback play here in Knoxville. Go make sure they're taking care of it. KnoxvilleSmiles.com. You can make an appointment right there with Drs. Malone and Costa. They won't let you down. KnoxvilleSmiles.com for all the information. All right, let's go back to the G3 Help Me hotlines. We've got Tennessee Tom up next. What's up, TNC?
What's going on, gentlemen?
How are we feeling, bud?
Houston, you with me real quick?
What? Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, here we go. Do you have one of those drawers in your house where you just take screws and, you know, just odds and ends?
Yep.
Crap.
The junk drawer. Yep.
Okay, I think that's what everybody has one. And as far as Tennessee football goes,
oh boy.
Yeah.
Have you put it?
Bad,
have you put Tennessee football
it's
in the junk?
After Saturday, I threw that thing into that junk drawer because you know why? If something over the past 20 years, and I've, you know. Same old cliche. Everybody says they've been watching UT, blah, blah, blah. If you've lived in Knoxville, you've been watching UT football since you was knee-high to a pup, period. Whether you knew it or not, your parents had the game on. But the thing that Tennessee football has taught me in the past 20 years is we can spot a bad coach early. Now, we could all blame Garantano for this, that, and the other. Garantano is not the one that makes the call to put him on the field. It's the coaches. And in my book, I am done with this big orange football stuff until we get another coach in there. This guy has been there 3 years, and he doesn't show the intelligence of running a program, period. Nick Saban can take Butch Jones or whoever, and it's just a product of the program. And, you know, thank God we've got Rick Barnes in basketball. It's sad to say.
No, you're not kidding. Like, imagine if we had a basketball team that was picked, you know, last in the league this year. How would we feel? At least there is that basketball light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. And this game right here, this Kentucky game right here, this weekend is what pushed me overboard, and I take UT football and I throw it in that junk drawer. And, gentlemen, I won't call comment on it because I don't even care anymore. Saturday's game, I'm not going to watch. They're going to get their teeth kicked in, period. Even if they lose by 8 or 9 points, they're going, you know, you got, and I don't want to talk about football players anymore, Pacific football players. I'm not going to do that anymore because it's the coaches that make these decisions on who plays, what plays you run, and it's the good coaches that can find a way to move the ball, whether you put somebody in there at a wildcat position or whatever. You know, these things should have been thought of, second, third, whatever. And I guess I'm just calling to express heartbreak,
apathy. You're just done.
Yeah, there you go. That's the word I'm looking for. That I open up a junk drawer and I throw UT football in it. In my whole lifetime, I never thought I would do it. Hence the name Tennessee Tom.
Mm. Junk drawer Tom.
Thanks for the call, TNT. Yeah, that when I throw things into my junk drawer, they don't come out unless something like hits me that, oh yeah, I've got to have that to fix the, you know, sometimes it's like an extra part for something. And
man, that would be really good right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I put it in the junk drawer. I'll go get it. So hopefully.
Or it's something that isn't valuable that you realize later is very, very valuable.
Right. Yeah.
The value increases.
So hopefully something happens. It's not out of the realm of possibility that this team bounces back on some level that's unexpected. They've been Jekyll and Hyde for a while now. And when you have such poor quarterback play that you have historically bad offense, there's so much room to be better. It's possible. It is. But you just, I mean, we've just seen this play out over and over and over now, a few different cycles, and that's what makes it so frustrating. All right, let's get a tweet in here before the end of the hour. What's up, tweet? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, guys.
Morning, bud.
Hey, can you guys tell me when basketball starts? I can't find the schedule online.
I don't think they've released the official schedule yet, but
soon.
It's not even
soon.
I've been trying to find
November 25th. I think November 25th is when.
Is it that late?
So we have
NCAA said 36 you can start
6 days, give or take,
something like
to the
that.
Start of a meaningful sport. Is that about correct?
You got a while. You got a while.
Yeah, when I need to do my stat countdown. You know what I mean? I got to find all the interesting stats as it goes, so I can just keep myself interested. I didn't watch it. I mean, I've kind of been – I don't see – I mean, I guess I see how you keep them on, but it's like – Nate, we talked – you and I think we talked about this a couple – maybe about a month ago, and I said, do you treat this season like it matters or like it doesn't matter? And being the way it's gone now, I think now you have to treat it like it really does matter, because we were like, well, if he does really poorly, then you're going to be like, wait, it matters. And if he does really well, people are going to be like, well – It really didn't matter. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you don't just I don't see how he plays another game personally. No offense to him. I just don't know how you trot him out there and keep your team.
Yep. That's what I saw on the rewatch tweet. Like at this point, I think they would be more willing to let somebody make mistakes as they're developing. Maybe they end up being better than JG, maybe not, but like at least someone else gives you some hope, like a chance.
Well,
I saw a team quit on their quarterback Saturday.
If you're him, you can just say, hey, look, I did what you wanted, so it gives him a pass. You know what I mean? If you're the mm-hmm. coach, you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
I did what you wanted. I don't see how he plays another snap. I think he just goes peacefully into that good night, like that poem. Whatever it is, I can't remember it right now. Or maybe he goes peacefully when you're not supposed to go peacefully. And from Independence Day, the greatest American president that ever lived.
Yeah.
We will not go quietly into the night.
Maybe he should go quietly.
You're thinking of Do Not Go Gentle into that good night, a poem by Dylan Thomas.
He should gently go, and we should redo that and then just say gently go into that good night.
Do gently go, yes.
Please, just for the good of the country.
For your health and ours.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's just, I don't know what the bigger, like, you look at him and you're like, why keep trotting him out there? And then why trot a replacement out and then yank him after one thing? That doesn't even make sense.
Hmm.
And then, yeah, I don't know. What, maybe just putting Maurer in there. Was he COVID'd up? What's wrong with Maurer?
He had a hamstring injury, so he didn't get developed either.
He's fine.
Coaches don't like him.
He was healthy on Saturday. He ran scout team on Wednesday to simulate the faster running quarterbacks.
Did
from
he really?
Kentucky.
I didn't know that.
And then on Thursday he ran with the twos because they still don't know who number two is. Like, that's what's most surprising to me. And thanks for the call tweet. We got to run. The Jeremy Pruitt told the broadcasters we had to get two guys ready, but they didn't get anyone ready. JG, they think, is ready and he can't perform, and they still didn't know who the number two guy was this week. Like, what the hell? That's why JT Shroud only gets two plays, because they still don't believe he's the second best option. They don't know who the second best option is. And then they hopped over Brian Maurer and put Harrison Bailey in, probably just to throw the fans a bone, I guess. I don't know what the hell that was. If Harrison Bailey's fourth, why did he go in ahead of Brian Maurer? It's a train wreck.